Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and praise you. We glorify you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Woo! In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 8 through 17. 8 through 17. Amen. Amen. And so I need your attention right up here on the screen. Here we go. Yes. And I've entitled this evening's message, Move Ahead and Don't Look Back. Move ahead and don't look back. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, my friends, before we get into the expository teaching this evening, this topic, move ahead and don't look back. As we look into chapter 4, Paul was somewhat surprised that when he was there the first time in Galatia, how they received the Lord and they were on fire and they wanted to move forward as a born-again child of God, a new man. No, the Bible says no longer there's Jew or Gentile, but one new man. But as he returned back, something had taken place. Many of them had reverted back to Judaism. And there were religious organizations such as the Judaizers that would come and infiltrate the brand new church. And it would cause confusion. It would cause them to think that they needed to keep the traditions, that they needed to keep the law. They didn't understand that it was God's grace, God's mercy, that allowed us, you and I, to come into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there was a struggle here, but praise God, God gave Paul illumination, gave him wisdom, gave him understanding of the Word of God. And he wrote these things down for our learning, for our edification, so that 2,000 years later, just like what Jesus said, do not be deceived, because there will be deceivers in the world. And so basically, in a nutshell, this was Paul reiterating about going back, basically a type of backsliding, going back into the world or going back into the law. In this case, it was going back into the law. But it doesn't matter. You are retreating and not moving forward. And so we're going to look into the study tonight. We're going to look into the scriptures. And we're going to ask God to illuminate our minds and to guard our hearts that we would continue to move forward. Because the armor that Paul basically characterized in the Word of God, he illustrated that we have the helmet of salvation. We have the breast shield of faith. We have the armor of God, the sword of the Spirit. We have our belt of truth. We have our feet shod prepared for the gospel of peace. Now, he alluded to like a Roman soldier. But notice one thing with the Roman soldier. There is no protection on the backside. So what God is saying is keep moving ahead. Don't retreat. Don't turn around. Don't look back. And I'm hoping that this study will resonate in our hearts that we are to move forward in Christ. Can I get an amen? So let's go to the Word of God and let's look at verses 8 through 17. And here we go. Verse 8. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? Wow, that's a great question, isn't it? Verse 10, you observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. Brethren, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. You have not injured me at all. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first, and my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Verse 15. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Have I therefore become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. They zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you, that you may be zealous for them. And Paul was referring to, obviously, the Judaizers and the false teachers. So let's break this down, saints of God. Let's look at verse 8. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are what? Not gods. Wow, wow. Are you catching this, saints? They weren't worshiping the real God. You see, saints, just like in Psalms, actually in chapter 3 of Galatians in verse 23, and even starting off in verse 1, Paul reiterated the former enslaved condition of the Galatians to the so-called gods that do not even exist. Praise God. And before they came to know the one true God, the Galatians believed in other gods, little g, such as Zeus and Hermes and Hercules, and read about Paul's experience in Lystra, a city in Galatia. And you can find it throughout the book of Acts. Look at what Acts 14, 8 through 18. I want you to catch this, because this is Paul back then, which is explaining Galatians chapter 4. Let's look at this for a moment. Look at this, in Acts 14, 8 through 18. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking, Paul observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. Let me pause there. That is the key, to have faith. Hallelujah. You know, praise God, we have healing rooms, but it does you no good if you have no faith. Can I get an amen? And the faith has to be identified in Christ. Many people have faith, but where is your faith pointing to? Is it pointing to the things of this world? Is it pointing to a person, place, or thing? Or is it pointing to Christ Almighty? That's where our faith needs to be, because that's where the miraculous takes place. God lives in the supernatural realm, not this earthly realm. Can I get an amen? Let's go back to the word. Here we go. Verse 9, this man heard Paul speaking, Paul observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. Look at this. Verse 10, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and walked. Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Laconian language, the gods, little g, have come down to us like likeness of men. So now they were thinking in their Greek kind of point of view. And Barnabas, they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Look at this in verse 13. Then the priests of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with multitudes. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran among the multitude, crying out in verse 15 and saying, men, what are you doing? Why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them. Praise God. Look at this. In verse 16, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without a witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, they could scarcely, look at that, restrain the multitudes from sacrificing to them. Now, what this was alluding to is these pagan nations would always erect some kind of an idol and worshiped it. And so when these mighty acts were done by the apostles, in their natural mindset, they came to give them sacrifice. But they tore their clothes and said, no, we're just mere mortal men like you. It is God, hallelujah, the living God, the invisible God, praise God, that has blessed you, that has kept you. And we have to have the same mindset, saints of God. Because before we came into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, many of us had idols in our life. Some of you may still have secret idols. I don't know. But I'm here to let you know, you must put the Lord Jesus Christ first. Can I get an amen? Everyone, I truly believe, has a throne that's sitting on our hearts. It's who's on that throne which will rule and reign. Our mandate. And I'm hoping that you have kicked everything off and have put Christ there. Can I get an amen? When you have Christ sitting on the throne of your heart, let me just say this. The miraculous things will start taking place. You see, saints, these beings had no divine power that they were worshiping. And these gods, little g, could also refer to the principles and the pursuits of life that so easily change from being possessions to possessing us. You see, the people's ignorance of God made them slaves of something less than God. There's only one God to worship. Anything else, saints of God, means false worship and slavery to sin. Can I get an amen? And as Paul explained, hallelujah, anyone who has not discovered freedom in Christ remains a slave. In this verse, Paul was simply restating the pre-conversion predicament of the Galatians. Wow. So, let's move on to verse 9 here. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to what? To be in bondage. Did you catch what Paul was reiterating here, saints of God? After we have known God, or basically God knowing us. Wow, saints. You see, I want to show you something here in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Look at this. Paul wrote to the Roman church. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. It's not sacrificing to idols anymore. We are to be the walking, living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the key. That is the key. Look at this next verse of scripture right here. And Paul, that the word of God was reiterating, not just to the Galatians, but also to us as born-again believers. Look at this. 2 Peter 2:20 through 22. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that's us, that's our born-again now position, they are again entangled in them and overcome. Look at this, saints. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Look at this. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. Look at verse 22. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit. and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Wow, 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 saints of God. Let me just say this in a nutshell. What Paul was trying to address is, why would they want to go back to the law? Why would they want to go back to the world? Why would they want to go back to worshiping idols when God came down, died on a hideous cross, was buried, rose again on the third day, went up into heaven, and then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost was poured out. And now we have this treasure living in you and I. These vessels of clay now have the glory of God living inside of us. Why would you want to go back? What could be back there that God delivered us from to want to go back there? Think about it, saints of God. And this is what Paul was frustrated with them. So why are you going back? And so look what the Word of God says. It's like going back to a dog's vomit. Listen, you ever seen a dog when they vomit? And if you're not looking or you don't pick it up in time, they'll go back up and lap it up. That's how God looks at us, His church, going back into the world. Wow, saints, this is a serious matter. This is why I entitled the name of this topic tonight. Our Bible study is move ahead and don't look back. We're to keep pressing toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. You see, saints, the Galatian believers had been enslaved, but then Paul introduced them to God, the true and living God, and they found God, although, as Paul points out, it was God who found them. Did you know that God elected us? That God is the one that chose us before the foundation of the world? The Bible says that God already knew us as we were even formed. Before we were formed in our mother's womb, He already knew us. God, in His foreknowledge, had already seen us being sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. How many of you, just for some of you, I'm not going to say all of you, but some of you have received that revelation from God. And there's some that just walk around like, oh yeah, I'm saved, but I could just do whatever I want. Well, you know what? If that's you, you're walking in error. You're being categorized what Paul is teaching us in the book of Galatians tonight. And so we need to take heed. This is a serious matter. How many of you want to take your walk serious with God? Oh, yes. You see, my friends, Paul was astonished that after getting to know God personally, the Galatians would go back again and become slaves one more time. And the weak and useless spiritual powers of this world, there is no power other than the Holy Ghost power. Can I get an amen? You see, when the Holy Ghost touches your life, you become a supernatural being with supernatural powers. Hallelujah. Not to gloat and bloat and to brag about. No, it's to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover, to speak the Word of God and watch God transform their lives. When you speak life and not death, when you speak into their broken situations, that God would restore, that God would reconcile. We have supernatural spiritual power, hallelujah, to bring God glory and honor and praise. And He's looking for us vessels that would be yielded to Him, that He can use you and I for such a time as this. Because we live in the last days, my friends. Time is running short. We see the chaos. We see everything that's taking place that Jesus said in the book of Matthew. But I'm here to let you know, greater is He that lives within us than he that is in the world. Can I get an amen? You need to understand, if God be for you, who can be against you? You need to understand that God has given us the full armor of God, hallelujah, to slay the devil. Can I get an amen? Nothing formed against you shall ever prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you, God will judge in the day of judgment. He will condemn it. And so, my friends, who after tasting freedom these Galatians would return to slavery. Why? After meeting God, would the Galatians become slaves once more? Was that what they truly wanted? Wow. Well, let's move on to verse 10 here in Galatians chapter 4. You observe days and months and seasons and years. That's what he was trying to reiterate. You see, my friends, as an example of this law keeping, the Galatians had been attempting. Paul pointed out their observance of special holidays, the days referred to keeping the Jewish Sabbaths or other specific dates in the Jewish calendar, like the seven feasts of the Lord. I get that. You see, the observance of months would be the new moon celebrations of the Jews. Seasons would refer to the festivals that lasted several days. For the Jews, this could be the three main feasts, unleavened bread, Pentecost, hallelujah. That's right. And Rosh Hashanah. That's right, the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Kippur, the Feast of Tabernacles. Years of celebrations for the Jews were the year of Jubilee and Sabbath years. We've been learning this through Pastor Mark Bills. But Paul did not condemn the celebration of the Jewish events, for he himself kept the Sabbath and still traveled to Jerusalem for certain festivals. He wasn't talking about that. He was talking about these do's and don'ts of the synagogue and of the Jews' laws. Oh, that's right, saints of God, that's right. Look at this, what it says in Colossians right here. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath. That is clear. You see, you're going to get a lot of, even in our day and time, you're going to get a lot of Gentile Christians is, oh, why do you go celebrate the Feast of Trumpets? That's the Old Testament. No. The feasts belong to the Lord. They don't belong. Let me say this clearly. They don't belong to the Jews. They don't belong to us. They belong to the Lord. And we are to remember and celebrate what God has done. Listen, just in a nutshell. Passover, Jesus was crucified. The next feast is unleavened bread. He was in the tomb without any sin. Leaven is a type of sin. So they celebrated unleavened, meaning bread that had no yeast, which is a type of sin. Well, Jesus had no sin. And then on the third day was Feast of First Fruits. He rose again. He was the first to rise from the dead. Now, 50 days would go by, and the Holy Ghost was poured out on the Feast of Pentecost. Now, the fall feast is what we got to keep our eyes on. Can I get an amen? The Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Yom Kippur, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And many scholars believe that the Feast of Trumpets will be the day of the rapture. Now, I'm not setting dates for this year or the following year. All I'm saying is keep your eyes looking up, because it could happen this Rosh Hashanah. It's a brand new seven-year cycle. It's a brand new Shemitah cycle. Wow. And Jubilee will usher in 50 years. Yom Kippur will usher, it's going to usher in the Jubilee. And then on the Feast of Tabernacles will be the first time ever, the Hakel. Saints of God, woo, look out. Things are going to happen this fall. And so strap in your seat belts and let's go for a ride with Jesus. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? You see, saints, Paul said it best. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints of God, Paul would have condemned the Gentile Galatians celebrating the Jewish holidays in order to somehow receive more merit before God or fulfill some legal duty in doing so. But the God-honoring festivals were not bad in themselves. But when used as a way to earn salvation or score points with God, they became nothing more than slavery. And Paul was not referring that to like that. He he attended festivals too, praise God. So let's move on to verse 11. He said, I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. In vain. You see, my friends, if the Galatians continued in their law-centered approach in Christianity, setting aside God's grace in order to obey codes, customs, and rituals, then Paul feared that all his hard work among them and his suffering on their behalf would be worth nothing. Paul was not saying that the Galatians would lose their salvation, but that their very turning away from the truth would render them unfruitful and their faith dead, as if Paul had never visited them at all. Praise God. Praise God. Let's move on now to verse 12. Brethren, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. You have not injured me at all. I love Paul, because he would never condemn. He was just pointing out truths in their lives, saints of God. Oh, that's right. You see, Paul had become like the Gentiles, specifically these Galatians, in the sense that he was free from the law as they had been before they ever knew about the law. You see, my friends, they had accepted the gospel. Here, Paul asked that they simply remain in freedom. He was convinced that they would realize in an instant the folly of what was being offered to them if they would only reflect on the change that had actually occurred in their lives and when they had trusted the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Paul reminisced about how the Galatians had received him on his first visit to them. And they did not mistreat him, even receiving him in physical weakness. Paul depended on them in many ways, as was important as their own dependence on the gospel that he had delivered to them. Praise God. So, let's move on now to verse 13. Look at this. You know that because of physical infirmity I preached the gospel to you at the first. Paul was just basically telling them that he was afflicted when he came the first time, saints of God. Oh, that's right. That's right. You see, saints, many attempts have been made to identify the illness to which Paul referred here. Many, many, many. Some commentators suggest that Paul's illness was some sort of an eye disorder, inferred from the reference eyes in 4:15. Others think that Paul may have contacted some form of malaria on the coast after landing in Pergama and Pamphylia. Or he may have even had epilepsy. So he and his traveling companions had headed for the highlands where Paul could recuperate. Still others point to the physical abuse and beatings Paul had to receive in Lystra and the resulting, saints of God, the care of believers as his wounds had healed. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Look what it says right here. I want you to see something right up here. In Acts 14:19, look at this. The Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Wow. Wow, my friends. You see, we just don't know that the beatings, almost dying. We don't know that the cuts and bruises, bone bruises, because he was beaten with rods. Oh, they basically left him to die. We don't know his internal organs were still intact. We just know that when he came the first time to Galatia, that he had an affliction upon him. And so, saints, whether this sickness was the same as Paul's thorn in the flesh, referred to in 2 Corinthians 12:7, is just also unknown. Because this is what Paul wrote to them back then. Look at this. He wrote this. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Look at this in verse 8. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Wow. Wow. You know, a lot of times we get prayer requests. We pray at the altar, healing rooms, no matter where. And someone has been under affliction physically, maybe spiritually. And a lot of times when we don't have answers, that God doesn't show us what the affliction may be. And a lot of times it starts out in the spiritual realm, which manifests in the flesh, like Bishop taught last week. Whatever the case may be, my friends, that God will always say just what he, let's look at this again in verse 9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's the part that you and I sometimes cannot comprehend. And a lot of times we say, oh God, why me? My question to you, why not you? We're all going to go through. Maybe there's something that God wants to teach us. I don't know. I'm not going to be like Job's friends trying to guess your dilemma. But I will point to the Word of God we just read. God said, my grace is sufficient. Wow. Wow. Saints of God, we're going to go through. And there are a lot of times we don't have immediate answers. And whether they're afflictions, relational, or whether they're financial, you know, just because we prayed today doesn't mean God will answer tomorrow. But God does answer in his own time. You know that old saying, he may not be there when you call upon him, but he's always right on time. How many of you can honestly say he's been right on time in your situations of distress, sicknesses? Oh, yes. Afflictions. Oh, yes, saints of God. You got to believe God. God is in total control. If you don't believe he's in control, I don't know what you believe in then. Because the whole Bible tells me that he's in total control from Genesis to Revelation. Hallelujah. And our names are written in the book of life. Praise God. And so, my friends, whatever the illness, it did not completely incapacitate Paul. For while in Galatia, he had brought the good news of Christ to the Galatians. Praise God. And while it would be interesting to identify this illness, we can know for certain from Paul's words that he remembered the illness as the cause of his encounter with the Galatians. It happened there. And their relationship with each other had not begun with Paul as a confident herald of the gospel, but rather as a weak person in need of help. Paul had depended on the Galatians before they had come to depend on his message and the Lord Jesus Christ. So, with that, let's move on to verse 14. Look at this. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. I need you to catch that. Because when Paul came to them, he was afflicted. He came weak before them. And yet, God did the miraculous. I'm here to let you know, through your sickness, through your affliction, through your trial and tribulation, God still wants to use you in mighty ways. Don't let what has happened hinder your walk, hinder your call. Can I get an amen? We are to stand strong in the power of his might, despite of how you feel. Because it boils down, it's not about me. It's about God who lives in me. Hallelujah. God will strengthen you for the time when he's about to use you. God will use you in mighty ways that you cannot comprehend. And all you have to do is step out in faith. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody got to give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Why? Because God wants to use you mightily. God wants to use you. These people saw his affliction, but yet the Galatians thought he was an angel. Despite, I truly believe, God allowed him to be afflicted to let them know that he's human just like them. But yet, through it all, God would be glorified high and lifted up. Can I get an amen in the house? Somebody got to give them a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Some of you right now are going through affliction. Some of you right now are going through some serious trials. Hallelujah. I'm here to let you know that God is able to see you through your affliction. God is able to see you through heartache, relational, financial situations. Hallelujah. Your children who are not serving God, your parents who are not serving God. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever think and ask and hope for. Hallelujah. And that God, hallelujah, if you glorify Him and magnify Him and praise Him, hallelujah, your praise will bring you out. Oh, that's right. And watch God deliver. Watch God sanctify. Watch God save. Hallelujah. Watch God loose those people in your lives that are bound up with drugs and alcohol. Hallelujah. There's people that are in adulterous situations. There's people in your lives that you know that are in pornography. There's people in your lives that have gone after strange flesh, meaning the unnatural, which the book of Romans talks about. The alternative lifestyles. You know what I'm talking about. But God is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. You got to believe God. God, the Bible says where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. So no matter how dark the situation looks, no matter how bleak, speak life into that situation. Speak life and say, I refuse to believe that so-and-so is going to perish. You got to cry out for their soul. You got to cry out for their well-being. You got to cry out for their healing. You got to cry out for their restoration. You got to cry out for reconciliation. Cry out to God and watch God do the miraculous. How many believe that? How many can honestly say that? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Well, my friends, the Galatians could have refused Paul any reception because of his sickness. And it was revolting to them. Apparently his need had been a genuine imposition. Perhaps Paul's resulting appearance had made him difficult to look at, or his weakness had made him an extra burden on those who cared for him. The trial may simply have been the temptation to treat him with contempt or scorn because of his illness. To the Galatians' credit, they welcomed the ill Paul with open arms, ready to care for him and to listen to his words of salvation. Listen, my friends, Paul, he compared the reception to know that they might have received an angel from God or even Christ Jesus himself. The Galatians had respected Paul very highly, and although they had never met him before, praise God. Isn't that a blessing to know that, saints? So let's move on. Let's look at this in verse 15. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out my own eyes and given them to me. You see, Paul was alluding to this one thing, saints of God, when he mentioned have plucked out his own eyes and given them to me. You see, saints, the Galatians had received Paul with open arms and joyfully received the message he had preached among them. So Paul asked, where is that joyful spirit? And the Galatians loved and respected Paul greatly, praise God. Paul knew that they would have given him their eyes if they could have. This may be a reference specifying Paul's particular illness, or it may be a figure of speech, meaning that the Galatians would have given their most precious possessions to Paul out of love and respect for him. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, God. So let's move on now to verse 16. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Are you catching this, saints of God? Well, Paul was now being treated like an enemy. Why? And the only possible reason would be that the Galatians didn't want to hear the truth. The Galatians needed to realize that they were in real danger of believing a lie rather than the truth of the gospel. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So, as we conclude with this last verse of scripture for our Bible study tonight, they zealously, verse 17, court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you. that you may be zealous. Zealous for them. Zealous for who? Zealous for who? The Judaizers? Well, my friends, Paul always had the favor of the Lord. And so, while Paul had only spoken the truth from pure motives to bring the Galatians to salvation, the Judaizers had less than honorable motives. Yeah, there's always someone behind the picture. The false teachers were claiming to be religious authorities and experts in Judaism and Christianity, but they had selfish motives. They were anxious to win people's favor, but their only desire was to win the people over to their side and at the same time alienate the people from Paul and thus from the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, things haven't changed. And once the Galatians became committed to the false teachers, the roles would be reversed and the Galatians would be forced to pay attention to even to them and to even provide money and lodging for them. They would be in bondage to false teachers and all their wrong teachings, my friends. Wow, wow, wow. Listen, I'm here to let you know, nothing has changed in 2,000 years. Why is there so many denominations? Thousands. Just Google search denominations in the United States, and you'll come up with over 100 of them. 100 denominations. Why? Because some have truth and have truths. Some are walking in total lies. Some don't even believe that Jesus is coming again. Some don't even preach Revelation or Daniel. Some don't want to talk about prophecy. Why? Because they're afraid that if Jesus comes and reigns on their party, their empire that they've built here on this earth will come crumbling down. And a lot of them still want to drive around in their Lexus and their Cadillacs. A lot of them still want to live on Cherry Hill. Oh, that's right. A lot of them don't want their finances to be stopped, fleecing the flock of God, believing into a lie, not telling the people to prepare, that Jesus soon and very soon is coming. My friends, it's time to prepare our hearts. We see calamity coming. We're seeing the financial markets starting to get ready to tumble. We're coming into a brand new Shemitah cycle. And if history repeats itself like it normally has, this may be the greatest crash of them all. And if there's a major crash around the world, it will lead to war. And the Bible says 7 years of tribulation will take place. My friends, it's time to get our hearts ready. And I'm praying that Jesus soon and very soon will come and take the bride home. Who's the bride? We, born again believers that have repented of our sins. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We've been filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. And now we're heaven bound and a hell to shun. My friends, I'm telling you, it is time now to give our hearts to Christ. Paul wrote it down best when he was in Thessalonica. Let's look at this for a moment. He wrote this, "But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." Look at this. Verse 15, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first." Look at this, verse 17 and 18. "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." Verse 18, Therefore, comfort one another with these words. My friends, there it is. Comfort one another. Jesus is about to return. You see, my friends, what people don't realize, even in the church today, they don't realize the next greatest event the world is about to see is you and I being snatched out of this place. The dead will go first. We just read, will be caught up to be with them. But something so supernatural is going to take place, because we cannot fly up to meet God in these bodies of flesh. So instantaneously, God is going to do something so miraculous that the world is going to think aliens came and got us. Oh, that's right. But they're going to be in panic and fear when we're gone. Because the Bible's clear, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Paul wrote this down for you and I to believe truth. How many of you at home believe truth? Well, then believe this, what Paul wrote. Look at this. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be, here we go, be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Wow. There it is. There it is. There it is, my friends. There it is in a nutshell. Listen, in order to be blessed like that, in order to be caught up, in order to go with Christ when the trumpet blasts, and that was referring to the Feast of Trumpets, the last trumpet. Real quickly, every year, once a year, the Jews celebrate the Feast of Trumpets. They blast in their ceremony, they blast the shofars 99 times, and the 100th is called the last trumpet, the last blast. That's referring to the Feast of Trumpets. Is it this year? Don't know. I'm hoping. I know that this body's failing me, and I know that this world has nothing to offer to give us eternal life and to cure us from this body of flesh. Only God can change us and give us eternity. But if you're not born again, if you haven't repented of your sins, if you haven't been washed in the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, and now are heaven bound and a hell to shun, if that has not taken place with your life, please, my friends, don't let this, what you are now about to see, happen to you. Let's look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
going to be the million-dollar question. Are you ready? Are you ready to give your life to Christ? Well, there's a very familiar passage of Scripture that Luke wrote down in the book of Acts. It was on the day of Pentecost that had fully come, and the Holy Ghost was poured out on the church, the ecclesia of the church, the brand new born-again church. And Peter, who was empowered by the Holy Spirit, came down from the upper room in Jerusalem, and he preached a message that still resounds today as biblical truth. It goes just like this. Then Peter said to them, repent. And repent means make an about face, turn to the living God now, and turn your back to sin. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. Remission means forgiveness. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift is eternal life. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Wow. There it is. There it is, my friends. Praise God. Praise God. And so, my question is, do you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you want God to come into your life and save you? Or do you want to be left behind like you just saw? No, I truly believe God has a plan for you, and He loves you. He died for you. And all you have to do is receive Him into your life by faith. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's watching right now to pray with me, to pray for you, that you may be that one person tonight that needs salvation. If that's you, bow your heart and your head with me and pray this simple prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. From this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Someone just got saved, and if that's you, down below is our website. Log on, reach out to us. We want to put a Bible in your hand, and we want to pray with you and hopefully lead you to a church that will teach the unadulterated Word of God. And my friends, I also want to give a great big shout out to all those who continue to support Amazing Grace. Down below, as you can see, donations are deeply appreciated. Well, my friends, it's time to say goodnight. I really appreciate all of you for logging in and just being in this Bible study, learning and building up your faith, your most holy faith. And so on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we want to leave you the benediction, and we truly want to hope to see you Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And I'm excited that we'll be back in the saddle preaching the Word of God. And so may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. And so we love you. God bless you. And we'll see you Sunday morning at 10 o'clock at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. Good night.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com. or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.